you know, he guy stood up and it was my old neighbor, Chris. And I was like, I jumped up. I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I read the Bible cover to cover. Well, I'm here to, you know, convert to Islam. And he's like, are you sure? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, hold on 1 second. And so he went back into his office. I guess he's in the middle of a phone call. And I was like, all right, this is my sign. I'm out of here.
You say when you add the label Southern Baptist Christian, what's the difference?
This is the danger.
Assalamu alaikum.
How you doing, brother?
How you doing, brother?
Good. I'm doing well. Tell one of my friends that might be getting a call from you.
Chris Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, just for the record now, look, we've never met, but we greeted each other like we've known each other for forever.
And I've watched you for long enough. It's like I know you. So for you, it's the first time you see me, though, for sure. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. But that's the beauty of Islam, that brotherhood, right from the get-go, from the start.
Yeah.
That connection that you can't find in anything else, anywhere else in the world, that true love that you have for someone, you don't even know him, but as soon as you give that greeting of peace, it breaks all barriers. Doesn't matter if he's white, black, you know, we don't need any kind of movements. That it eliminates all that racism, everything. The love comes amazing.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Alhamdulillah, so how are you doing?
Yes, how are you in this coronavirus epidemic? Are you staying home? Have you been able to start your training at your gym at all?
No, actually, we're Chicago. You know, different states got different rules, but Chicago, they still on the lockdown. Well, I mean, semi. They started. They have phases. How about down there? So you train jiu-jitsu?
Very little. I've been trying to get back into it. I did a little bit when I was in the army.
Yeah.
And one of my brothers, he's in Oklahoma. He trains at Clinch. Have you heard of them?
Uh-huh.
He trains at a gym out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I really want to get back into it, inshallah. It's, as I was telling one of my friends who I was trying to talk into getting into it, that it's the best exercise, in my opinion, you know, alhamdulillah. And it also is, you know, good thing to know.
Yeah. Let's get into, you said military, so this is what I know so far, and you could take it from there, give us some highlights. So we got, you were a military man, you got deep into Christianity, and from there, what happened now? You were for some time struggling with alcoholism. Yeah. Talk to us about all that.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little run through. I was raised in a Southern Baptist family, and my family is very open-minded. I feel they're very conservative, and also very loving. You know, I came to Islam, it was like another day for them. They didn't give me any hardship for it, alhamdulillah, and they were very kind and accepting, and it was like nothing ever happened. I was a strong Christian, I want to say. I read the Bible cover to cover, and I was young, and I guess I didn't, at that time, I didn't really see all the anything wrong with it. You know, I became very close to God through the Bible, and I was one day talking to one of my friends from Saudi Arabia, and I asked him what he knew about Jesus, and he just kind of, I don't know if he knew much about Islam or not, maybe he did, but he just kind of gave me a small introduction, you know, about how they believed in the same prophets and how they believed in Jesus, but he was just the son of God. And I agreed with him, and it just kind of blew my mind. I was just like, wow, you know, like, this was 10 years ago, you know, I was in 2010. And I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that you guys believe, because, you know, at that time, Islam was so foreign to me. I was told growing up that it was a different, that Allah was, you know, someone else and this and that. And so it blew my mind. And at that point, you know, this seed was kind of sown, I guess, and I had another friend from Pakistan, and I'd asked him if he could take me to you know, his mosque, you know, and I could learn about Islam. And he was very you know, he was kind of iffy, you know. He's like, because, you know, he knew who I was, you know. I was, you know, wasn't known for being, you know, the pious or pious, you know, where I know I wasn't really known for out in Astaghfirullah. A couple of my friends, we used to, you know, play a lot of jokes on him, you know, growing up, you know, with him being Muslim. I'll take you up here, but you better behave, you know.
Yeah.
I'll take you to the mosque, you just behave. And he took me up there, and I made wudu. He showed me how they make wudu, and he showed me how they ablution, and he showed me how they pray. I don't know. I mean, it was cool. And a guy sat me down, and he kind of gave me a run through. A circle of mine was kind of somewhere else at the time. I really wasn't listening. But I went home, and about a couple months, 2-3 months later, like, I just woke up, you know, stuff like my neighbor and I, my neighbor, his name is Chris too. And we used to party hard, you know, when we were young. He was a few years older than me, but we used to, it was just a tradition, you know. We would get off work and we would, you know, drink ourselves to sleep every night, you know. And, anyway, one Saturday I just kind of woke up and I was just like, I'm never going to get out of this. You know, I'm going to lose everything. And I was just like, I told Allah, you know, I was like, I'm going to go convert to Islam, you know, and if this is a bad idea, please stop me. And I'm just like, so I got in my car and I you know, Googled where the masjid was, and I started heading up there. And there was only like two people up there. There was the imam at the time and one other guy. And I went up there and I was just like, I walked in. He's like, you know, can I help you? I was like, well, I'm here to, you know, convert to Islam. And he's like, are you sure? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, hold on one second. And so he went back into his office. I guess he's in the middle of a phone call. And I was like, all right, this is my sign. I'm out of here. And so I started to walk out. And I seen like a little pamphlet, and it said like Quran and science. And I grabbed it, and I was like, you know, I started reading it, you know, and it blew my mind. Just a little pamphlet, you know, how it was talking about, you know, just all the different scientific facts in the Quran. My mind was blown, and I was like, okay, this is a sign. You know, I should try this out. And so I went back in there, and he sat with him. And this time, he gave me the introduction to Islam, and I was a little bit more. I was listening this time, and he, you know, then I took Shahada, and I went home, and I didn't want to answer the door. Story's kind of getting long and stuff. Below, sorry, but I went home, and I was like. You know, my neighbor came back over, and I didn't want to answer the door for a couple of reasons. I was a little embarrassed about what I had done. And also I was, I didn't want him to talk me into drinking again. I was like, I've got to try this out. And so as soon as I could, it took me, and then he would knock at my door all the time, you know, wonder if I was okay. And we were good friends, you know, me and this guy. And I felt bad. And so I even changed my number and I just left. I moved in with my brother for a little while. And because my brother, he was quitting drinking too. And so this was going to be an easier transition for me. And then like 4 years later, I was going to the masjid. And I always made dua to Allah for, like, you know, friends and stuff. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was a very good community. In comparison to others, I'm sure, but it was also kind of, it was hard to make friends. And so I was making dua, I wanted a friend, you know, Allah, I'm lonely. And anyway, this day in the masjid, I was just like, I was like, I feel like I'm the only white person here. And I'm looking around and I was like, that's not right. There's a lot of white people here, you know? And I'm like, wow. And then all of a sudden I see this guy who looks familiar and he's got one of those Afghani hats that looks like an old potato sack. You know what I'm talking about? And I was like, well, that guy looks familiar. And they were like, somebody's here to convert to Islam. This is about four years after I took Shahada. And, you know, the guy stood up and it was my old neighbor, Chris. And I was like, I jumped up. I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like,
wait.
What are you doing here?
So your old neighbor was at the mosque, the masjid also. And he was about to take his Shahada, or he already took his Shahada? He accepted Islam.
He took his Shahada. Yeah, was after Jumu'ah prayer. Yeah, he was there to take his Shahada. Yeah, so he took his Shahada. Whenever he was taking Shahada, that's when I knew it was him. And I was like,
your neighbor. This was your neighbor. He was also, yeah. Was he also a Southern Baptist Christian?
Yeah.
What's the difference between when you have someone who's a Christian? And then for those that don't know, when you add the label Southern Baptist Christian, what's the difference?
You know, I don't know. We jumped around from so many different churches growing up. It was just my grandmother who gave us that label. I felt that we were a little bit more conservative in a lot of things. Like my mother, she's married a few times, but she's never she wasn't known to have boyfriends, you know, and the same with everyone else in my family. They wouldn't have boyfriends. You would never catch people in my family dressed like with tight clothing or, you know, or cleavage showing, things like that, you know.
So there was much more modesty there and much more adherence to some of the traditional values.
I feel, but then again, that could have just been our family too. There was also people in the church that I met that were, you know, not of that. But, you know, I mean, it's all, yeah. And again, it's been so many years now, 10 years now, like I've really forgotten a lot. Yeah. You know, I just kind of focused all my mind on this new religion, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
So now you see your neighbor. What's his name?
Well, now his name is, I believe, Abdul Rahman.
What was his name? Chris. Okay, so you have Chris, and you're Chris also.
Yeah.
So he's Chris, you're Chris, the two Chris's meet in the masjid, neighbor. What's that experience like? That's kind of surreal. I mean, that's kind of like a dream or something, right?
Yeah, it was just a trip, you know, because nobody... You know, alhamdulillah, now I'm a part of a Dawah team in New York City called Grassroots Dawah. And I always explain to my brothers, you know, Allah, you know, we don't, it's at the mercy of Allah that we're out here, you know, because of that situation, nobody was out doing Dawah to either one of us. You know, there was nobody handing us out pamphlets. There was nobody, you know, doing any of this, and even whenever we went to go take Shahada, nobody was reaching back out to us. You know, Allah doesn't need us. You know, it's at the mercy of Allah that Allah allows us to do these things. Allah allows us to have, you know, these opportunities to, you know, go out to teach, to, you know, to do videos, to you know, we set up tables in New York City, you know, alhamdulillah, and hand out free Quran and pamphlets and have conversations. But Allah doesn't need us to do this. Allah can do it another way, but it's at the mercy of Allah that we have this, and it helps us. You know, it helps us also remember our faith and stay in something positive and receive a reward, alhamdulillah, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it was a trip. You know, the oldest I can really say is, you know, when I seen him there, my friend there, Chris, it was just like, wow. And now, you know, his beard is like 4 feet long. You know, he dresses, you know, like he's from Afghanistan.
You guys have never actually talked before that. This was like the last person you would think that would accept is the deen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was on the same block next door. You guys grew up,
yeah,
and this happens now. This is, wow.
Yeah, Yeah, alhamdulillah. It was a trip.
You guys
Yeah,
still stay?
alhamdulillah.
You guys still stay in touch? Is he? Where is he? Is he not still in Oklahoma?
He's still in Oklahoma. He lives a very basic life. He doesn't, he, you know, he's very religious, mashallah. He doesn't get on social media or have cell phones typically. He just he these days it's on and off. Sometimes he'll give me a random phone call out of nowhere, but he lives in himself a little camper. He runs himself a table at the local flea market to make his money, alhamdulillah. And he just kind of he avoids, you know, all this. And that's kind of the way he was before Islam too. He was very for lack of better, I mean, he's a full-blown hillbilly, you know. You could, he's got a strong southern accent, you know,
I saw a
and
shirt
he
today said
speaks.
America. Like what? America.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, mashallah, this brother, you know, he cans his own meat, he catches fish and stuff, and then that's what he
So
eats on. You
that's
know,
a
he's.
fulfillment. That's a fulfillment of a prophecy from the last and final measure, Prophet Muhammad, that Islam will reach every home, even
Yeah.
even the hillbilly or whoever. Doesn't
Yeah.
matter. The truth, when
Yeah.
it comes, is powerful.
Yeah. And he got his dad to take shahada before his dad passed away, too,
And his
alhamdulillah.
father, alhamdulillah. How did you feel? Because we're mentioning this term Islam now, and some people look at it as something foreign. Something like, okay, for the Arabs, look, you're from former Southern Baptist. Your friend you just say he's out in America. You call him from the South there. Tell me what is it when you saw the natural progression of Islam, when you just defined the word Islam, what it means, peace acquired by submitting your will to God, when you were seeing the natural progression of all the messengers and that they all came with the same message, pure monotheism. What did that do to you? Like, did that, like, the light bulb went off? Like, did it just, logically, emotionally, did it all fit, come together? What do you, when you see the natural
Yeah.
progression of it, this is Islam, the power of it?
It's, you know, I feel like, you know, the most important step, like that I took, that Allah gave me, you know, what was taking the Shahada. And after then, I mean, it's like, you know, there's lots of light bulbs going off. You know, everything that you read is like confirmation. Many of us reverts, we watch, you know, and I still do watch all these YouTube lectures, you know, and all these things on, you know, and it's always blowing my mind. And you know, it really, it's hard to really explain other than that, you know, Allah, you know, He is in control of everything. And the more we realize that, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, I believe, you know, Allah says somewhere in the Quran, like, that the people, they were planning, you know, against, they can plan and plan, but Allah is the best of planners. And Allah has shown this to me in my life, you know, because in so many ways, you know, I, right after I converted to Islam, my life fell apart, alhamdulillah. I became almost homeless. I lost everything, and then, but it gave me time to learn about Islam,
So
and I really wasn't.
people were expecting when you said when I accepted Islam that life was going to get good, but you just said that it took a turn for the
That's
worse,
not.
actually, for a little bit.
It seems that way, you know, and it can be perceived that way, but I look back in these moments, you know, when my power was shut off. I had the eviction notice in my apartment. I got kicked out of the apartment, and I had nothing but a laptop, you know, and Allah would guide me to a Wi-Fi place to download how to pray, you know, and so I would download how to pray, you know, Fajr and Dhuhr and how to read Arabic, and I would download all these videos, you know, and I'd go back to my apartment, and they would be downloaded so I could watch them. And you know, in this I was happy. I every time I'm watching these videos and I'm praying, I knew what was going on. Like I and Allah knows best if it's the real reason why, but these things were taken from me because I maybe I would have misused them. Maybe I You know, I was in an area where, you know, I might have gone back to drinking, and also me being kicked out of the apartment, you know, astaghfirullah, Chris had not converted to Islam yet. It motivated me to get out of the apartment. You know, I had to go move in with my brother.
So it was a blessing in disguise.
Blessing. Yeah. It was a blessing in disguise. Yeah. And Allah, you know, he has his ways, and he's 100% in control of every situation. You know, people, I've worked for people in Oklahoma that did not, and even out here in the city, in New York City area, I've worked for people who hated Muslims, and Allah is causing them to pay me a handsome sum, alhamdulillah, you know, and they don't even have any control over it. There's people out there who may hate us and they may despise us, and it doesn't matter. Like Allah, he's the best of planners. People can plot and plan all they want, you know, and Allah, he's in control of these situations. And having this understanding of what, who Allah is and what Allah is in control of, it brings peace to the heart, because we, you know, I'm not married, you know, and there was a time whenever I was really trying to get married, you know, and I was searching online and stuff like that. But, you know, this is, it's in the power of Allah. Allah has given me so much more in my life, alhamdulillah, that I know that when Allah is ready for me to get married, I'll get married. And if not, you know, it really doesn't matter. We're here for a short amount of time. You know, this has been 10 years already I've been Muslim. I've even watched your videos as your beard has gone gray, mashallah. And, you know, and mine too, alhamdulillah. And this time is flying by. It's crazy. Yeah. You know, so, you know, we're here, we can't really, you know, think about our hardships in the sense that sometimes they hurt us because we think that we're in control of it. We could have done this, we could have done that. What's done is done, you know, and there's usually, you know, a good reason behind things, you know, alhamdulillah.
When you heard, for the person that's hearing this word Allah for the first time, when you were exposed to the word Allah, we obviously know that just means God Almighty, the Creator, the same God that Jesus worshiped. Yeah. What was your experience like? Was that hard to grasp? You know, because usually Christians or just people in general, they just say for the Creator, God, right? So there's kind of just a ambiguity around the name. But now you have a literal actual name for the Creator, Allah.
Yeah, Allah, yeah. Yeah, whenever I'd asked a preacher about Islam before, and he told me that that Allah was a different God, and so my first, you know, knowledge of this word, in fact, even as a kid, I thought it was, you know, it was a different Allah, was someone else, you know. And Allah, after learning from my friend just the basics, that, you know, he explained to me that Allah is just the Arabic word for God. It's God. And whenever he told me about the prophets, this was like the, you know, it was obvious, you know, Allah, whenever he, you know, whenever my friend talked about, you know, the prophets being the same and this and that, that was whenever, it was like, obviously this is the same, you know, this is the same creator, you know, that is mentioned in the Bible. It to me, it doesn't take a lot of, you know, knowledge to figure that out. You know, whenever you're talking about, you know, Jesus and Mary, and if you've read the Bible cover to cover, or if you read a good portion of the Bible and you read the Quran, you realize it's the same God. Like, you realize, because it's done in like the same manner, you know, like Allah, he has parables in the Bible, you know, that we can believe in and trust in as Islam, as long as they don't, you know, contradict anything. But there are parables in the Bible. Then you go to the Quran and there's these parables, and, you know, the it gets you to reflect and to think, you know, and to understand really what Allah is saying, you know. And you know, these things, you know, and now, you know, it's, and like you say, you know, Allah, it is nice to have this name for Allah, you know, and, you know, Allah, you know, 99 names, you know, and all these names and attributes, you know, these are learning these things are beautiful ways that we can understand Allah's power, you know, too, and understand Allah's, like I said, you know, how he is in control of everything.
Around what age were you when all this is going on, when all this is happening in your life?
I was 24.
24?
Yeah, I was 23 when I think I'd had this conversation with the brother about Islam. I think I was 24 whenever I took Shahada.
What got you into that mindset of asking the crucial questions? What's the purpose of life? Meaning of life? Where most people that at that age, they're just pretty much on a whole different mindset. You know, they're not even thinking about that. So what had you thinking about the purpose of life?
Yeah, I feel Allah, he had placed it into my heart, these questions, you know. As I was partying in the way that I was, you know, living in this lifestyle, Allah, he had put, you know, whenever things were going wrong in my life, Allah made it clear that it was from Allah, you know, because, you know, that's the only way I can really put it. Like Allah, he, you know, I would get in trouble for things would go wrong, and Allah made it very clear to me. And so, I feel like, you know, Allah, he put these questions in my head, you know, why are you, every time you drink, something bad happens, you say something you wish you hadn't said, and I was so deep into it. You know, even though I was young, I give the excuse, but as you know, subhanAllah, I was so deep into it. No matter how much Bible scriptures I read, I still wasn't able to fully climb out of it. And that's something else, you know, Allah, this beauty of this religion of, you know, Allah, he gave us this religion, how when you pray five times a day, you know, it gives you that break, you know, that from that idle time. And also you don't want to be drinking before prayer or anything like that. So it made it so easy, you know, Allah did. He made it so easy to get it out of this, this lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Do you find like, because now it's very clear the do's and don'ts, your whole purpose of life is laid out in Islam, you know, what you need to do from when you wake up in the morning to when you go to sleep. It helps you to become a better human being. The concept of God, the theology, everything is crystal clear. Specifically here with alcohol, many people have this struggle with alcohol. And now in Christianity, it's kind of left up there. You have, you know, verses in there that tell you to stay away from it. And then others will say, oh, just moderate, you know, Jesus turned water into wine, right? So then you see the priest drinking, so you drink, but then every alcoholic or binge drinker was a moderate drinker at once. So it's kind of, risky business when you're playing with alcohol. But here in Islam, it's just clear. It's cut it out. That's it. There's no ambiguity. You know, it's like, so did that help? Do you feel that helps someone to now put things, you know, right, to say, okay, this is what I need to stay away from. This is what I can do, what I don't. And that helps you on a clearer path.
Yeah, the basic and fundamentals of Islam are so clear, you know, alhamdulillah. And like you said, in the Bible, there are verses in there. And I remember specifically, like, I believe it's like the last page of Revelations where it's mentioned that if you are poor or bitter hearted, something along those lines, you can drink. And, you know, I would tell myself this excuse because I was both, you know, but yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, there are so many answers in the Quran, how Allah is so clear, you know, with everything. You know, people, Christians, you know, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the Holy Spirit is like your connection between, you know, there's different explanations of how people perceive this. Allah is so clear that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the angel Gabriel. And not to worship, you know, angels. And Allah is so clear that that Jesus, the Messiah, he was not crucified. And he repeats it, you know. And Allah is so clear as to him being the most merciful. And we really grasp this, you know, to those of us who have this understanding, you know. And it's it's just like anytime I've ever like just wanted to read the Bible out of curiosity, now alhamdulillah, like I'm like, you know, this is a little confusing, you know, because you can't perceive these verses as being what people say if you haven't read the Quran, you know. And you know, Allah, Allah made it so clear, you know, with everything in there, and it definitely makes it easier. I remember when I started becoming close to God, close to Allah, reading the Bible, and I stayed fixated on reading the Bible, and I would, if I read something and I didn't remember what I read, I would read it again, and I became very close to God, very close to Allah. And, but like from then till now, you know, like you can't even describe like how Allah changes us, you know. Like if you had asked me whenever I was 19, 20, if I ever felt like not, you know, going, never drinking or never listening to music or never, you know, never getting with girls anymore, you know, never, doing all the things that I used to do, or if I was to want to marry a woman with, you know, one of the headscarves, the hijab, you know, if you'd asked me then, I would have been like, no, you know. But you know, Allah, he changes this, you know. Now if you were to, you know, ask me, you know, to drink, like, you know, astaghfirullah, like I don't think you could put a gun to my head to want something like this, you know, or to want to listen to music, you know. Now when I hear music, it, you know, everyone to each their own. I don't know the scholarly opinions on this, but I feel I'm of the opinion that we shouldn't, but it makes me feel uneasy, you know. And Allah, he changes us, yeah. And to, you know, to everyone to their own level too, you know, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Many people, we know about the STDs that are out there, but we forget about the spiritually transmitted diseases, and usually they'll come and hit the hearts through the instruments and whatnot. It's I compare it to like malware, right? So they'll open you up with the beats, and then the virus, the spiritual virus, will get in there with the lyrics. Right. And then there's things that just keep repeating, the most awful things that are being thrown at you, and it gets in your head. Next thing you know, it has an effect. It hurts. It's a spiritually transmitted disease. It affects the hearts. So this is what Islam gets you on, a clear way. And you don't want to be distracted with all of the nonsense.
Alhamdulillah. And that is the beauty of it. You know, I mean, many of us in our, you know, throughout the 10 years, in times I've been on a roller coaster with this deen, and when I have gone back to trying to make myself listening to music, you know, or maybe you hear a song that you really like, or the thing is it pulls you into this dunya, anything that, into this worldly life, it makes us sometimes not even want to pray. You know, we would rather finish, like, say we're playing video games all day or watching movies all day, and then the adhan goes off, that the call to prayer goes off, we may rather finish what we're doing first. And that's, you know, sometimes we should ask ourselves, like, you know, maybe I should, you know, put a pause on this. Maybe this isn't as good as it should be, you know. You know, here I am, I'm going on and on and on and playing these games or listening to this music, and I would rather finish the album finish, you know, this whatever before I go to Allah, you know. And these things, you know, they slowly infect your heart to the point, maybe you start listening to music and you're hearing the music, and then you want to watch them on the YouTube video, and you see them and you see people, you know, on there that, you know, dressed as they shouldn't be dressed. And then you're like, I really want a wife, so I'll just, I'll start talking to girls. And then you start talking to a bunch of girls. You know, there's chains that happen in these things, you know. And the beauty of Islam is it is basic, you know. Like when you go into church, there's lots of music going on. Like, it's almost, I believe Allah even mentions somewhere about people who just kind of clap their hands and whistle. And I don't mean to make fun of them. You know, this is their way. But this is how they, this is whenever you ask them how they worship, that, you know, jamming out and clapping and waving their hands in the air or speaking in tongues, this is how they worship. But alhamdulillah, our worship is so simplified, and it's so simple. When you walk into a masjid, we're all clean, you know, and everyone's you know, made ablution, and, you know, there's no music in the masjid. It's unneeded. It's unnecessary, yeah. You know, and still your heart is being fulfilled with this, you know, your iman is being raised, and you're receiving knowledge, and, you know, throughout your time at the masjid, and it just goes to show, like, this is how worship should be done. Yeah. You know, yeah, alhamdulillah.
This is just, again, the natural progression from somebody like yourself who was a Baptist Christian, who was really searching for the truth, searching for your creator. And like you said, like any human being who wants to know the purpose of life, who's out there, doesn't matter where he's at, you know, God Almighty, if you're sincere and you're asking God Almighty to guide you, He'll guide you just like He guided you. Just a couple more questions. Tell us that your relationship with Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, when you started to have explained to you the belief of Jesus. Now there's, because as Christians love Jesus. I mean, they really, to the point that they end up worshiping him. But now when you learn that we, as Muslims, it's an article of faith, you have to believe and love Jesus. Just not as a God or literal son of God, but someone who was sent by God, calling people to worship God. How did you deal with that? Was that something that, again, was another natural progression? Was it easy to accept?
Yeah, it was, alhamdulillah. You know, and again, it falls down to, you know, just things being very basic and easy to understand, you know. It's, you know, we ask ourselves sometimes, you know, if you ask yourself, you know, what is more important, is having a relationship with the creator or the created, and trying to define this Holy Trinity is extremely complicated, and just about every person seems to have their own definition of this, their own way of defining it and breaking it apart, and it's all extremely complicated. Rather, very simply, Allah, He's one, and Jesus, you know, He's the Son. He's not the Son of stuff. He's not the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is. Allah doesn't need sons, and this is a very simple understanding, you know, and something else, all the prophets had the same religion, may Allah be pleased with them, peace be upon them, all of them had the same religion. This is very easy to understand, you know, rather than they're going from being a Jew to a Christian to this and that. They all were Muslims. They all believed in one God. They all worshiped one God. And this is, you know, and so, and I still enjoy reading about Jesus, peace be upon him. And I enjoy reading about all the prophets, peace be upon them, you know, and their trials and, you know, how we can, you know, learn to reflect on what they went through, you know, and, you know, and how we can compare it to our own lives and to help us have a better walk through life. But the idea of Jesus being crucified, it's just unnecessary, you know, and it doesn't, in my opinion, like many of the Christians from my home would say things like, you still need to repent, you know, what was the reasoning then? You know, if you're talking about Allah creating a son and then killing him for you to repent, what's the reasoning? There's no, you know, there's no logical reason for that. But again, Allah, He's the one to really open the hearts. You know, as Allah says, you know, in the Quran, that you can tell whatever you want to some of these people And unless Allah, Allah, he has a veil over them. Unless Allah relieves this veil, you know, I've seen some extremely articulate people out there have these, get in these debates and stuff with some extremely articulate Christians, you know, who seem to know a lot of Quran and seem to know a lot about the Hadith and know more probably about Hadith than maybe I do. And it blows my mind. It's like something so simple. It's like, where, why, you know, but alhamdulillah, you know, somebody is as simple minded as I am, you know, Allah has made it easy for me. And then my friend, you know, Chris, you know, somebody coming from our background, you know, it's like it's something so simple, but Allah, he's the one in control. If we get Allah guides people to Islam near our tables all the time, alhamdulillah, in New York City. Alhamdulillah, Allah has me a part of this team, Grassroots Dawah. And it's such a beautiful thing and a humbling experience because you see people that from all walks of life, you know, we now have a guy who used to be a Jewish brother. He's now part of our Dawah team. And he's extremely knowledgeable about all faiths, you know, and where he's come from in his life, you know, it's like most of us, you would not, if you're asking like why Allah guides us, you know, why Allah guides this person, because they, you know, they're not smart or they're not articulate or they're not rich or they're not, you know, whatever the case with us may be, you know, like, but Allah, he sees something in us that we don't even see. Like I said before, like if you'd asked me before, if I wanted to stop all these things and have this different life, I would have told you no. But Allah sees something in me that, and now I do, you know, it's from Allah, you know, and it is, you know, it's an amazing, humbling experience, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. Last question. What advice do you have for another Baptist Christian, a Christian, someone who is left religion, an atheist, whoever, but now they're, you know, thinking about these important questions, purpose of life, why am I here? They're stumbling upon your story, but there's a lot of stigma attached to Islam. You know, there's a lot of things that are thrown at Islam and to distract people from looking into it. But we got their attention. What would you say to them? What advice would you give to that person?
Perhaps we, you know, should try to humble ourselves and ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you, the Creator. Ask Him to forgive you for whatever you may have done that you, and ask the Creator to guide you. And that's the, you know, God, Allah, the Creator, He's the first one to give you the right direction. And then from there, if the questions that you have, you know, it's easy. We can get on Google these days and we can find a Muslim of knowledge. You can find a masjid, a mosque near you, and talk to a Muslim. You know, if I wanted to learn about cooking, you know, I would go to a chef. If I wanted to learn about, construction, I would go to someone in construction. But if you want to know about Islam, you shouldn't go to your preacher, because you shouldn't go to somebody who isn't a part of it, because they can't tell you from their heart what they believe. You know, yeah. That's my advice.
That's good advice. You want to learn jiu-jitsu? Go to a jiu-jitsu instructor. Don't go to somebody.
Yeah.
Who is teaching capoeira.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother, it was really nice talking with you. Give salams also to the neighbor, if you talk to him.
Yes.
The other Chris, this is really amazing to hear. You guys at the masjid, same time, he's accepting Islam. It's amazing. Inshallah, many people can hear this and benefit from it. And inshallah, we can meet sometime on the mat sometime.
Yes,
next
inshallah.
Time. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. People, are you ready?